fan headlines. Gonzaga going to put its unbeaten season on the line at 240 against Oklahoma. It's a bonus Monday of NCAA tournament action, which is just tremendous. Reminds me of when I was a savvy young news hound, Ron, and would go home and watch playoff baseball right after school, run home only to see Bucky Dent put one over the Green Monster. But still, I love after-school sports, so to speak. You?
Sure. I mean, a Monday with afternoon basketball? Are you kidding? Now, I guess it would have been just as good if it had been last Thursday. You know, everything got pushed back this year because of COVID. But games all day today, pretty special on a Monday in March.
See, it's hard for me to picture Pomp as like an 8 or 9 year old, but you must have been excited about sports, Pomp, then. You must have had a great head of hair, too, as a young guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I got into it. You know, I love doing this. I was doing this before when I, you know, I was hopeful of having a golf career until open heart surgery changed that. And so then I channeled all the efforts into this, and it's been... It's fun making a career out of, looking and analyzing sports. I think it's cool.
Me too. I love it. All right, Juju, what about the personality? What about some of the stuff, if you want to call it that, that comes with Juju? How does this factor in? Do you like having him? See, I'm one who believes that none of this is really a big deal at all. I like having him in the receiver room. I know there are some out there who think that he's potentially a bad influence on Chase Claypool. I only see how he could be a good influence, a guy who plays as hard as he does game in and game out. I see very little problem with Juju, the personality, even if I didn't like the logo stuff or the Browns is the Browns stuff, not particularly. But then again, you had a coach guaranteeing a couple years ago they'd be in the AFC title game. So I don't think it's a big deal, and I think he's a good influence in that room. How about you, Bob?
I do. I think, again, as I said before, Joe and Ron, I think all these guys have their own brands out there and their own. That's just the way it is today. No matter who you are, there's something out there. The fact that all of us are on social media means that you must have some concerns about it and interest in doing it. And I think everybody can do what they want as long as it's not crossing the line. I thought the dancing on logos was something I would have stopped. I hated it. I don't like that. It just gives too much motivation to the other team. But aside from that, I mean, he's done some good stuff. He is very much committed to his brand, which also brings money into him. Everyone who does it at that level gets money. So it's an additional source of revenue, Ron, and I don't blame anyone for searching it if they can.
No, I don't like some of the stuff he does either, the logo and then going after the Browns after getting his butt kicked by them. But it's a minor element of it for me. If you can play, I just don't believe that these teams around the league looked at this guy and said, oh, we can't take a chance on him. If they think he's a number one receiver, they're going to overlook all the immature stuff he does. So it's a minor deal for me. I don't believe that factored into him not getting the big money, Joe.
No, what factored in my opinion, is that the Steelers turned him into a singles hitter, and that ruined his market. And yet he stays loyal to the Steelers and wants to come back here. That's the great irony here. They ruined his market out there by turning him into a guy who finished 125th in the NFL in yards per catch. Bob?
Again, yards per catch is a function of their offense, which I thought was very incomplete without a run game. If you go back over the first 3 years, Juju Smith-Schuster has the ability not only to go long, but to outrace people. He's faster than what people think. And yet he's been pigeonholed into this yards per catch thing, which is an analytics thing that, fine, that's what the case was this year. But how many times on third down did he come up with the
necessary yards
per catch?
Well, why didn't he get big money then? I mean, that's not really deep analytics stat.
You tell me, you don't think he can go deep?
I do. I agree with you. My point is the Steelers turned him into a singles hitter, so he's coming off almost a laughable year in terms of yards per catch. That's not like a deep analytical stat. It's just how many yards do you get every time you catch it? And his was, and I've said this a million times, comparable to Hines Ward in his last season when Hines couldn't walk. He was at 8'3". Juju was at 8'6". They ruined his market. I think, by turning him into that. But I agree with you. He could be more. But nobody else on the team, Bob, it wasn't just a function of the offense. Nobody else on the team had a, had an average like that. Claypool was at 14-1. Johnson was at 10-5.
They were using them differently.
Yes, they were. That's my point.
Well, okay, but you don't think other teams in their deep analysis of players can't come to the conclusion that he was misused and that he is not what the numbers say he was? Because I think if you're looking beyond it at age 24, why wouldn't you like the guy?
Why didn't he get money on the open market, in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't know. Do you have any other ideas why?
You know what? I can say all along that the Steelers didn't use him right, and that's okay. That's fine. He has never been a number one receiver for me. I mean, he wasn't. He hasn't done the same since our good friend Big Chess left town. His numbers have dropped. You know, I know his yards per catch, again, let's use that stat, was much better before, but his two 99-yard plays, 99, whatever, 98, 95, however long they were short passes that he turned into touchdowns. I've never looked at him as a number one guy, Joe.
Well, that's fine. Obviously, the rest of the league must feel that way right now because they gave Kenny Golladay $40 million guaranteed and other guys got better deals. I have. I don't care who's on the other side of you. If you catch 111 balls for 1,400 yards, you have and then just the eye test of watching him. You know, I could pick out plays. I could pick out the catch he made in the back of the end zone in Oakland. I could pick out him jumping over Jalen Ramsey down the left sideline in their winning drive in Jacksonville. I think he's a large talent, and I think he was misused. But I hear what you're saying. And you know what, Ron? Probably based on the available evidence we have right now, the rest of the league agrees.
Well, that's you ask why he didn't get a big money deal. I think that explains it right there. Teams don't look at him as a number one guy. They don't look at him as a guy that's going to take the top off of a defense and have a monster year. He's a very good player. I'm not saying he's not a very good player, but I don't look at him as a great wide receiver, Bob, and I don't look at him as a number one guy.
I don't either, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't get more money based on what he's capable of doing, especially when you look at the drop-off between what Golladay and everyone else up in that category got. Look at his numbers. Yeah, he can go deep. A lot of guys can go deep, but you have to catch the ball too. I think Juju Smith-Schuster can do better and I think in time he will. He's going to come back, and we'll see what happens. I'm surprised. I did not expect this. I expect him to move on. I don't think they needed him to return, but they couldn't turn their back on what they had offered.
So, no, I mean, again, to me, this is like any other position. I don't care what position it is. If somebody says to you, here's a guy who was top 10 in a bunch of categories, and you can have him for the price of a backup lineman, I just say yes. I'm not sure I even look into it. I just say yes. I'll take him at $2.4 million. I mean, again, Chris Wormley signed for a 1.8 cap hit. I just jump at this, but I think Ron is right that the evidence is out there now. I mean, Juju went out on the open market, and he was expecting, he had to have been expecting, because it was projected that he would get $15 million, if not more. And he wound up coming back here for about half of that. I mean, it was a disaster. His first foray into free agency was a disaster for him. I don't see any other way to look at that. Do you, Bob?
No, I think it was totally miscalculated on his part and his agent's part, if that were the case. But I also think that the NFL and a lot of its teams are misanalyzing what he can do. I think he can be – he's 24 years old. I think his best football is ahead of him. And if you don't think you can add to it, I mean, I'm surprised even if he didn't get $15 million a year. How about a deal that guarantees him something in the 20s and, you know, part of a three-year
– Corey Davis.
$2 million. Yeah,
Corey
something
Davis.
Like that. Why wouldn't you get something like that, Ron? I'm just shocked that nobody would even give him that.
Well, again, you know, all you can go by is what these other teams seem to be thinking. We'll find out if they made a mistake with him, but to me, it's pretty clear what they think, that he's a good player, not a great player. They're not going to pay him as such. You know, you could argue that they blew it by taking that stance, and that's fine. We'll see if they did or not, Joe.
Well, now we get to the question of here. And what conversation would he have had with Matt Canada? Did Ben make him any assurances? Hey, you come back, you're getting the ball even more. I mean, he did lead the team in catches, but he didn't lead the team in targets. Not really that close. I mean, Deontay was like 1.6 targets ahead of him per game, which adds up. And I don't see Claypool's targets going down. So is this going to be back to an A-B situation where they feel like they have to force the ball to a guy because of promises made? Or they're going to use him differently? Like, I don't know.
See, I don't think Juju will ever get the coverage that A.B. got, you know, after A.B. established himself as a number one guy. So, I mean.
No, I'm talking about forcing the ball to him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think you're going to have to force the ball to him because I think he's going to be able to, you know, not get that kind of coverage that Antonio used to do where you had to force the ball to him. I don't know. It just it's going to be fun to see how they use him now. They better find a running back. They better find some offensive linemen. They better find a cornerback. They better find an outside linebacker. They got so many needs. It's great to get Juju back at a good price. But to me, they didn't need him.
But what could you address with $2.4 million, Ron, that you couldn't have otherwise?
Well, if you know, something. I mean, you can put it towards, you know, something, I guess. I mean,
they did. They put it toward B.J. Finney and Joe Haig. I mean, this is pennies they're paying for this guy. Miles Killebrew, Chris Wormley, all these guys, except for one thing. Juju was ninth in the league in touchdowns and catches. I mean, I don't see how one has anything to do with who else you're bringing in. To me, it was a choice.
I just think they don't need him, Joe. That's all I can say. I don't care what price it is. I would rather put that money somewhere else. They added back to
their
strength.
So $1 million for the veteran minimum, you would have said no? For the veteran minimum?
To their strength. Yeah, no. I mean, but I'd have made sure I had be able to take care of my other needs before I would have brought him
back.
Well,
one injury on that receiver core the way it was, and you would have been in a pretty dire situation.
They don't
situation.
Even need an injury on the offensive line or an injury at outside linebacker or an injury in the secondary. They're already weak at those positions.
But they already brought in two guys for depth. They already brought in two offense. It didn't prevent them from bringing in two guys for depth, two veteran linemen.
Well, we'll see how it transpires. I want to see what they do at cornerback.
Do you not think this was
defense,
a choice between...
We've all talked about all year, all this offseason, we've talked about how they still have a chance to be really competitive with Ben next year because the defense is so good, has a chance to be so good. I think every move they've made in this offseason, while understandable to a large degree, I see no way that defense can even be close to as good as it was last year.
Maybe you're right, but that has zero, I think, to do with Juju. None. They apparently were going
to
make a decision.
We can agree to disagree, Joe.
All right. Should they not have signed Joe Haig?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Joe Haig. I know he played on a Super Bowl team. You need bodies to fill out your roster. They have so many weaknesses.
Yes,
I just don't get bringing back a guy, no matter what the price, at the deepest position you have.
Well, again, one injury and they're left. Let's say Deontay gets hurt. It's Claypool and James Washington, and that's it. So you wouldn't want a guy who was second in the league in third down catches that your quarterback
loves? Again, Joe, what happens if one of the cornerbacks get hurt next year?
Right. Well, yes, they're thin all over the place. I just don't think it has anything to do with Juju. I just don't.
Well, again, Joe, we can agree to disagree, and we do disagree on this one.
We sure do.
Bob, you can settle the debate here.
No, you can't. Just because he would agree or disagree with one of us wouldn't settle it, but go ahead, Bob.
Well, you know what I mean.
What I'll tell you is that every team in the NFL is thin in a lot of different categories. That's just the way it is in this situation with the salary cap, especially this year in the pandemic. You look around, you'll find every team has massive needs. The question is, for $8 million and a 2.4 salary cap hit, this is a bargain by any stretch of the imagination. They would never have done it unless the price dropped to this level. So they did it. It's fine. It doesn't affect anything else they do, in my opinion. So,
but it would seem they made a choice between Hayden and Nelson, and we're going to make that choice no matter what. Let's get into that next. Like, what's going on with Steven Nelson? Did he request this, or what's happening? To my way of thinking, they could have had, by the cap hits that are currently on the board for next season, They could have had Sutton, Juju, and Hilton, who's at a 4.9 cap hit for a total of $9 million. And then the difference between that and Nelson would have been like less than $2 million. So I would wonder more why they didn't bring back Mike Hilton on that number. If they were getting rid of Nelson, or if they were going to get rid of one of those two corners, they could have had three guys basically for the price of one. But what's going on with Nelson? Was this a request by him? It seems clear it wasn't like a reaction to Juju, at least, even if we think it may have helped cost him that, or cost them him. But what's going on? Let's dive into that next.